I thank God for being here. And I know someone made reference to us not being in a physical house, but he said that our bodies are the temple of God. So we are in houses of worship in different places, but collectively in the spirit. I do want to thank Elder Bobby for the prayer this morning, because it said so much. And I appreciate him praying the way that he did, because I think he captured a great deal of my story and narrative within the context of faith and ministry. To the Lord, first and foremost, I give him all glory and honor and blessing for who he is and for what he has done by making me a recipient of his salvation and his grace. And to my blessed husband, Deacon Donovan, who gave me such a sweet introduction. To my pastor and friend, and he's also a friend of God, Pastor Avery McKnight, and his wife and family. And to all of you, my brothers and sisters in this faith, special blessings to our children and young people who might be listening today. I want these children, and you young people to know something. First of all, I haven't met you, but I have love for you. I want you to know that you are special to God. And I don't want you to ever forget that God is. If you remember anything, remember those two words, that God is. Our text this morning comes from 2 Corinthians chapter 3. I've only been given one verse. And that verse was spoken in my spirit as I was laying in bed on Wednesday morning, I think it was. I heard this word. Every now and then, the Lord will give me a word that I'm hearing. And this word is what I heard. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 17. The verse reads, "Now the Lord is that Spirit. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty." That was it. I woke up hearing, "Now the Lord is that Spirit."
Glory.
I've been processing this ever since I heard that in my spirit. And I will disclose that this message is in process. So it is not finished. And as I share with you this morning, I do want you to understand that prophetically, this message is not finished. It's just an introduction into whatever God is saying and whatever God wants me to say as I move forward to preach the word. Now the Lord is that Spirit. And as I was preparing for today's event, this just kind of jumped out at me, this thought. A right now God in a not now generation. Right there in your home, if you will repeat after me. A right now God.
A right now God.
A right now God in a not now generation.
And in a not now generation.
Wow, powerful.
Hallelujah. Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Jesus.
I've been hearing Pastor Avery and those of you who have been on the line talk about now faith. So when I thought about this particular sermon title, A Right Now God in a Not Now Generation, the sub-thought came to me, now faith, now. Now faith, now.
Hallelujah.
So I pray that you would mentally posture yourself to hear the word of the Lord. And I say hearing takes some discipline. And as people of the Lord's church, hearing increases our faith in the one who has called us into his grace.
Glory.
I want to remind you that God is always speaking. And we must remember to always position our spiritual ears to see, not hear, but also, not hear only, but also to see what the Spirit is saying to us today. Now faith allows us not just to hear the word, but now faith allows us to see what the word is actively doing. The Spirit of God is saying to us here at Powerhouse, now the Lord is that Spirit. Prophetically, God is declaring something to us in order that we as people of the book will transition our witness. In order to transition our witness and move into contemporary practices of evangelism, we must break down the meaning of this divine mandate, this edict, or this spiritual proclamation. The proclamation for Powerhouse today, it is now. And I want you to put a period behind now. And then the next part of it is, the Lord is that Spirit. I want to move our thinking into the realities of the passage, and it says, now the Lord is that Spirit. Powerhouse. The eternal God wants us to understand something, and that is, we are living in the eternal now. We are living in the eternal now with the eternal Spirit of the eternal Lord. And it is now that the Spirit of the Lord is speaking expressly and intentionally to the church, and more specifically, this moment to us. He is talking to us now. I don't say that I am God, but I know the Word of God is real. So I'd like to read for you how the Spirit is speaking to us, according to 1 Timothy 4 and 1. Paul told Timothy, he says, now the Spirit speaketh expressly. I say to Powerhouse, now, period, the Spirit speaketh expressly, that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies in hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron. And then he lays out some ways that you will see the manifestation. That's why I say we got to see also what the Spirit is saying to the church. And he begins to define forbidding to marry, commanding to abstain from meat, and different other acts. What is the problem? I talked earlier about it is time now for us to begin to transition our witness. If we are going to meet the present crisis, because right now the church internally is experiencing its own crisis. And I would argue that it is experiencing what we call in pastoral care and in chaplaincy a crisis of faith. That even though the word is being read, and sometimes the word is being preached, because I don't say the word is being preached all the time. I know messages happen and things are being said, but it doesn't necessarily mean that the word of God is being preached. So in the midst of the church itself, we are in a crisis. Many of these churches, many of our denominations, many of our leaders, many of our lay people are in a crisis of faith. Because how do you leave church and go home and commit suicide? How do you leave church and go and commit a crime and get arrested? How do you leave church and go get high on drugs?
How do you leave church and go to the bar and get drunk? How do you leave church and go home and beat your wife? How do you leave church and go home and cuss your children out? I declare that we are in the midst of a crisis of faith in the Christian church. And until we understand that the urgency of now, Dr. King talked about in his letter from a Birmingham jail, he used that terminology, and I'm borrowing it today. The urgency of now, until we understand the urgency of now, we'll continue to live within the not now culture. See, when you see things happening around you as people of faith, and it's happening to people of faith and by people of faith who sit next to you in the church, and then they go out and do all kinds of things, you're looking at a not now generation. So the now faith narrative that many of us try to uphold, sitting right next to you sometimes in the house of God, is a not now person, a not now generation, a not now faith. Let me move on.
Take your time.
The problem is that many believers live with an unbalanced view of time, live apart from the immediacy and urgency of now. For example, when we want healing and miracles, we want God to do it now.
Yes.
But when God wants worship, and when God wants praise, when God wants honor, often we resort to the not now practice. That's where we must transition our responses to the practice of now faith in a right now God. See, when you got now faith in a right now God, he can drop something in your spirit at any time and you're going to respond. You don't have to put him on schedule and say, no, I can't do it now, Lord. The Lord said, no, I need you to pray for so-and-so right now. I know they're in trouble, but you have to put it off, because your not now practices that you've inherited from the culture is enforcing the way you think about a right now God and your own right now faith. Many Christian people struggle with believing in the finished work of Jesus Christ when he died on the cross and was resurrected with all power and authority over both heaven and hell in his hand. Folks struggle with the reality that Christ has been raised and that he has raised us with him. And that we have the promise of eternal life in this present moment. I'm talking about a now, a right now God in a not now generation. We should not struggle with the presence of the right now God in the midst of whatever situation we are in. We should not be struggling with this crisis of faith that is wrecking the Christian church and wrecking the lives of many people of faith. Do you really believe that the resurrection afforded you authority, afforded you power, afforded you redemption from sin and the effects of sin's culture on your life? Are you struggling with who you are as a believer? I say to you today that it is so important for us as believers of faith to accept and understand that the realities of the resurrection, when he raised from the dead, he also raised us with him.
Yes.
We have the promise of eternal life in this present moment, and I'll say now. Too many saints are living in the not now rather than the right now. In their Christian walk, we talk about now faith is. And as I begin to study and unpack the portion of this that I was able to get, I saw where now, the word now and the word is, are always conjoined with the noun in the middle. So we're saying now, Paul says now, the Lord is. And he says that spirit. We know Hebrews says now faith is.
Come on, so hallelujah.
Between now and is a reality. So now we are, or we is, however you want to say it. We are the children of God by faith. It doesn't mean that we're going to become that. It says now we are already. I love 1 John 5 and 11 and what that says. And this is. Somebody say is. Not might be. Is. And this is the record that God has given to us eternal life.
Yeah.
And this life is in his Son. Verse 12 says, he that hath the Son has life. That means you got it already.
Yeah.
And he that hath not the Son of God has not life. That's a reality.
Yep.
These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know, that you may know, that you may know that you have eternal life. See, we are too busy working for eternal life when we already got it. So, many of us are living in the not now generation that says it's not going to happen now. It's not real now. We don't have that now. But the Lord is saying to Powerhouse this morning, now the Lord is that spirit. And now you have eternal life already. And now you are to believe on the name of the Son of God. That is, now faith is believing on the name of the Son of God. You know, Dottie, people saying that he's an on-time God. But from the word of the Lord today, he's a right-now God. Yes, he is.
Hallelujah.
He's always there when you want it.
Yeah.
And he's with you all the time. I'm changing her words around.
Yeah.
She's saying he's a right-now God. He'll be there. You know, he may not come when you want him, but he'll be there all right on time. I say he's always there when you want him.
Sure.
And he's with you all the time. He's a right-now God. Yes, he is.
Yes, he is.
The Lord of glory is that spirit. The Lord's right-now spirit, I want you to know this, the Lord's right-now spirit is active and living in the eternal now with us. If you understand that right now we live the eternity of our salvation gifts and grace. The Lord's right now spirit is active and living in the eternal now with us. We cannot lose sight on the permanence of the divine state we are in. Let's not forget that. The Lord is that spirit. And if we're in the Lord, and if we are in Christ, yes, we are in Christ, then that spirit, that eternal spirit, that active spirit, that spirit of power is always in us, and we are always in the spirit of power, in the spirit of authority, the spirit of life. It is our divine state.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes, yes, we can feel that we might be threatened with the casualties of our earthly life. We got to keep hope that the eternal God, the right now and ever-present spirit of the Lord, is actively engaged in every facet of our multidimensional lives. See, sometimes the devil fools you and make you think that part of your life God ain't got nothing to do with. But when you are in him and he is in you and he's existing eternally right now and you are existing eternally right now, there's no part of you that God is not a part of and that you're not a part of in God. Everything that God is, you are. Everything that you are, God has made and God has redeemed and God has valued unto himself. So we must understand that we are not just one thing. We are not just flesh and blood, but we are soul, we are spirit, we are intellect, and we are will. And when we fully accept the life-changing nature of the Spirit that lives in us and moves in us and gives us the fullness of being, you know what we'll do? We will assert the glory that we had with Him.
Yes, God.
When He thought of us before we were ever born into our mother's womb. The scripture says the Lord is that Spirit, and His glory will be revealed in us, and His Spirit will glorify the Lord through our lives, whether we suffer failure or attain victory. I had to sit with that one for a moment, because I said, you know what? There were times when I did things I didn't think God would be glorified by them. But I want you to understand, even your past and your failure, because God has redeemed every part of you, that can glorify your story, will glorify God if you tell it.
Hallelujah.
How much more is the glory of God revealed when we fail and when we fall the deepest? It's okay, yes, for some may not have had experiences where their lives went into directions that they're ashamed of. Maybe that's not your story. But think about how deeply the Apostle Peter fell. He walked with Christ. He stood beside Christ. He ate with Christ. He knew Christ. And at the end, he fell deeply, very deeply. But God raised his story up and allowed him to talk to us about what it means to be a redeemed saint of God. Peter lived within the eternal now with Jesus. And that's what the Spirit is calling us to do. To be a now church, a now saint, in the midst of a not now generation. Oh, everything about our culture is saying not now. Not now, Jesus. Even in the church, people are saying not now. And I'm thinking about how prosperity has changed even the nature of worship. We no longer sing the songs of our ancestors. We no longer sing the hymns of prayer that brought us over. We sing in some new songs.
Come on now.
Which means our theology done changed. We may not
come on now.
It means that our theology has changed. So
preach.
We don't think. Feel away no more, because we got to the point where we already feel like we've made it to the promised land.
I
want to say,
as
the people of faith, regardless of how much we've attained, we still got to remember that we live in the eternal now with God, and we live within the eternal presence. That we must witness to a not now generation, because they don't even see what's about to come to this earth. Many of them don't understand. Our children don't understand. I live the existence that my children don't know nothing about. I tell them about it, but they don't understand when I tell them how far God really brought us, because they never lived that way. They don't understand what it was like for mom and them to buy their first home. They don't understand what it was like for daddy to get the car and get the kind of car they was riding around in going to school. They don't get it, but it's for us. It's for us to begin to teach. That's why I say we got to transition our witness in this contemporary evangelistic society. We got to really understand what it means that the now, the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. We got to translate the message. Definitely translate the message. The Lord is that Spirit, and His glory will be revealed in us, and His Spirit will glorify the Lord through our lives, regardless of what state we're in. So now, everyone who understands and is being called to now faith, you're also being called to now glory. You don't understand what it means you don't use your faith, when you don't use your faith, you don't glorify the Lord in the way that he wants you to glorify him. Now faith is now glory. The writer of 2 Corinthians is telling us that now, right now, the Lord is that spirit. We can't forget that Jesus is alive. We can't forget that we are alive in him. Christ is the Lord, and the Spirit is uniquely manifested in actions with both the Father and the resurrected Son of God. We understand when we accept the Lord Jesus as our Savior, we are then filled with the Spirit and given all authority to operate in his ministry according to the will of the living God. The Lord is the one who governs and leads our lives. I like Psalms 23 that says he leads us beside still waters. And even though we might have to walk through the valley of the shadow of death, we don't lose hope. Because the Lord is that spirit and he walks with us. And I always think about this old preacher that we knew in Pennsylvania. He said, if there is a shadow, that means there is light. If there is a shadow, that means there is light. God's light casts shadows when we are going through dark places. I want to close with this thought. Both the Lord and faith are synonymous. The Lord and faith are synonymous. And it is activated. God activates through faith. There is no disconnect between the work of the Lord and the work of faith. Hebrews 11 reminds us that the ability that faith works in history are beyond anything that we could ever do. So I close today with this thought. Remember that the Lord is that spirit. And his eternal spirit never dies. We are in him. And he is in us. And if we are in him, he is in us. At every moment, the now spirit of God is actively working through us to access the now spirit of faith. So I say to you, Powerhouse Church of God by Faith, prayer line, saints and friends, let us walk with him. Let us always allow the Lord to impress the urgency of now on us so that we will respond in the now properly to a not now generation. We are in a not now generation. Everybody saying not now. We know that the Lord is coming back, but folks are saying not now. We got to act like God is already on the way, and he is. We're looking at the process. We're seeing it. We're a part of it. So in this not now generation, let us be a right now church. Blessings and peace to you all. Amen. Let us pray.
Amen.